Cover me when I'm not strong. Cover me when I am going through the storm. Cover me when all seems hopeless. Cover me when my faith is gone. And the peace that passes all I understand.
Often do the offering play will be in the back, and you guys can all greet each other in Jesus' name.
Music fades, and all is stripped away, and I simply come, wanting just to breathe.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. What's all right? My collar's running around. How about now? Yeah? Oh, nope. Tag was sticking up. You can see that, though. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. We do want to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. And as we pray, I'd ask for some of the men of the church come forward and lay hands and pray for me. I'm just not feeling a little bit under the weather tonight. So if I look a little bit, not my normal gregarious self, then you'll know why. But I ask that you would you pray for me tonight. Anybody else have a need you'd like to make mention to church? Who was that? Bethany. All right, pray for Bethany. Certainly. Sister Graham? All right, let's remember Jeremy in prayer. Oh, wow. Certainly. Just remember Josiah, that situation there. Very serious situation. Certainly. Sister Christy? Certainly. Anybody else? Sister Pat? Goodness. All right. Let's remember Jackson, certainly. Brother Mike, see him? All right. Certainly. Anybody else? All right. Certainly. Certainly. I also remember Bill and Deanna as they're traveling back here. A few days from vacation and the family, so I'm sure they would like for us to pray God's traveling mercies upon them. Why don't you stand? I'm going to step forward, and I'm going to ask the men of the church to come forward and anoint and pray for me. If anybody else, if you'd like to be anointed and pray for us, certainly always all right. But let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, you continue to touch all the needs that are spoken here tonight. Little Jackson, God, the doctors may not know, but you do, God, and you're able to work and move, God, the situations of work, God, employment, God, whatever the need is, we know that you're able for Bethany, God, over Sister Kellum and medication, God, for all the unspoken needs that Christy is, and God, and the business situation, Lord, we know, God, that your hand is upon it, God, to find your strength, your love, God, and all that we do, Jesus, you are so wonderful, Lord. Josiah, God, and Jeremy, Lord, we lift them up before you in prayer, God, believing and trusting in your power to work and move each and every situation and circumstance. We can trust in you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We honor you, God, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I think it'd be all right if we just applaud the Lord for his goodness for a few moments. As you're seated, I do want to make you aware of a few things concerning the announcements. This coming Sunday, the 23rd, is a two-session format on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school, 11 o'clock, praise and worship. And then we are going to have our share session on Sunday night. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And then the following Sunday, on June the 30th, that Sunday night, we are going to give way to finalizing everything we need for the float. We will have a float in the parade on Saturday, July the 6th. A little change on our normal Faith Family Fireworks event. Normally, they the city of Sandwich puts that on the Sunday closest to July the 4th. However, this year they're doing it on the Saturday, so the same day as the parade. Parade's at 10 o'clock, many of you know, down Main Street here in Sandwich. And then later on in the evening, about 5 o'clock, we're going to gather together at the Davis's residence for our annual picnic, if you will. Church will provide the meats, hamburgers, hot dogs. We need each family to bring a covered dish and a drink to share. And we'll have the tent and the tables. And there is a sign-up sheet at the back. Men, we really need your help, and some ladies as well, to sign up for the different duties so that we can spread the wealth. Obviously, we want as many hands as we can to help make it light work for any and all of us. So that sign-up sheet is at the back. We'll be reminding you of that. This coming Sunday, following the Sunday morning sessions, we are having a Mother's Memorial fundraiser luncheon. It is a baked potato luncheon by donation only. Just bring a donation to give to Mother's Memorial, and we'll give you a baked potato with the trimmings. And then following that, there are probably during that, while you're eating, some point in time and all that, we're going to have an auction for some desserts and some baked goods. And so that's all happening on Sunday. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. I will say this, our share sign up shop, oh my goodness. I should have known better than try all that alliteration. Good thing I didn't say a wordy dirt or something. Our share sign-up sheet. Got it. Some of y'all like waited with bated breath, like, is he going to do it? Yes. Is at the back, and so, but it's quite unfulfilled. And so we need you to help us out. If you're not going to share, we're not going to have much to do. Because I'm not sharing. The whole point is to have you guys do it. And so we need your participation in that. And if there's not enough participation, we just won't have it. So I ain't going to try to beat you into doing it. If you want to do it, you can do it. If you don't, we won't. But it's there, and we're certainly encouraging that and wanting you to be involved in that time together. We are continuing in our study, developing the leader within you. And last week we talked about, anybody remember what we talked about last week? What the one word kind of subject matter for last week? I'll give you a hint, started with an A. Attitude, yes, thank you, attitude. We talked about our attitude when it comes to change. Remember the week before that, we talked about change, and we talked about why we're resistant to change, and we wrote with our, you know, our good writing hand the word attitude. We wrote with our non-writing hand the word attitude to kind of display our normal attitude about change. And so then we took the word attitude and went even further and talked about how that attitude is so essential when it comes to good leadership. And we talked about some of these things, like our attitudes will influence ourselves and others either positively or negatively. We made a statement that everybody kind of nodded in consent, in that life is about 10 to 15% of what happens to you and about 85 to 90% of how you react to it. And so we talked about how important it is to have the right attitude, to get rid of the stinking thinking. Few things are more discouraging and demoralizing than a negative attitude. A change in attitude has the potential to change your whole life. Change your attitude, it can change your whole life. Your attitude will attract others of similar outlooks. If you have a bad attitude, you're going to find other people that have bad attitudes. You have good attitudes, a positive attitude, guess what? You're going to attract that type of person as well. And so we kind of had a little tagline I do this every week, a quote somewhere in the study. I may not be able to blank the blank I see around me, but I can blank the blank I see the world around me. But remember what that statement was. You say, well, that's a lot of blanks. If you had one, change is the first word. I may not be able to change the world. I saw somebody mouth it. I may not be able to change the world I see around me, but I can change the way I see the world around me. May not be able to change the world around me, but I can change the way I see it. I can change my perspective. I can change my attitude concerning it. And so we talked about how important our attitude was in developing the leader within us, how it is important how we have an attitude, the way we have an attitude. We talked about the Bible says whatsoever good, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things of virtue, there be any virtue or a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We talked about the importance of attitude. Well, tonight we're going to talk about leadership's most appreciable asset. Man, I like all these tongue twisters. Leadership's most appreciable asset. Anybody knows what something to appreciate? You know what that means? Yeah, it's not your question. To gain in value, right? If your home appreciates, that means it what? Increases in value, yes. So leadership's most appreciable asset. What is, anybody want to take a guess? What is leadership's most appreciable asset? Strategy? Gratitude. Anybody else? Thank you, Sister Christy, for playing along. She said gratitude. Leadership's most appreciable asset. People. You and me. Leadership's most appreciable asset are what? Those who are influenced by the leadership. Those individuals, we often refer to them as followers, those individuals that help things grow. Leadership's most appreciable asset is not the leader in himself and his own ability, but rather it is the ability to lead other people and from the leading of those other people grow a business, an organization, a church, a group, whatever. Let's look at a focus verse found in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteemed other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. New Living Translation says it this way: don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Sharing in successes with and success of others will facilitate great admiration and bring multiplied rewards. Sharing the successes and sharing with others their successes. In other words, when I'm successful, we're successful. When you're successful, we're successful. This is a team effort. We're all in this together. We are helping one another to increase and to appreciate. That is leadership's most appreciable asset, is simply one another, people. The ability to grow has to do with our ability to grow people. No man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself or get all the credit for doing it. I'll just do it all myself. Well, guess what? You are limited. There's only so much you can do. And so if you're really going to be the type of leader that grows and is able to grow an organization, a people, a workplace, a church, whatever,
then you need to understand that it doesn't happen because of everything you do personally in and of yourself. It's going to happen and it's grow as you learn how to involve other people and appreciate them and make them a part of what has happened. See, this is where that production thing comes in, where you have that personal relationship on that level of leadership that starts to get into the production, where things begin to happen, where encouragement happens, and people all of a sudden get on board because they see things are happening and they appreciate it. And as a result of their appreciation, things grow. I'll get it right in a second. I told you it was going to be a little. The morale grows. People are encouraged, they're strengthened. Appreciating people. One thing almost always on the list of people's needs is the desire to feel worthwhile. How many of you here have no desire whatsoever to feel worthwhile? It's a basic human need, if you will. To feel like I matter, to feel like I'm worth something, to feel worthwhile is a basic need that everybody has. When you make people feel more important, it increases their self-esteem. Makes them feel better. You're appreciating them, and as a result of your appreciation of them, they are growing. Their self-esteem is in becoming increased, and they're becoming encouraged. And now, yes, I want to be a part, and yes, I want to get involved, and yes. One of the highest forms of appreciation you can provide an individual is to help that person be useful and find significance. Think about that. One of the highest forms of appreciation is to help someone find that they're useful and find significance. Make them feel worthwhile. Make them feel like we need you. Make them feel like this doesn't happen without your participation. Make them feel like, hey, you're the reason why this thing works. Make them feel like, hey, without you, this doesn't happen like it should. Encouragement is oxygen to the soul. I can learn how to be a Barnabas, when I can learn how to be an encourager, when I can learn how to be a brother of consolation, when I can learn how to encourage someone and strengthen one another and get behind them and say, hey, I appreciate you. Not just say it, but display it in ways that validates them and makes them feel worthwhile. You are significant to everything that happens, and we need you. Let's talk about some development issue areas. There are some areas where we sometimes struggle or we don't really develop in ways that we should to truly appreciate people, valuing people. Sometimes we don't value people like we should. We don't value the part that they play. We don't look at them square in the face and say, hey, you matter. You matter. This is an issue of attitude. It truly is an attitude about that individual. Well, so-and-so just, you know, they made me mad. They didn't do what I asked them to do, or so-and-so. And so I'm going to criticize. And you know what? What's the old saying? You draw more, what is it? Bees with honey or something like that? What is it? Throw more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. There you go. I knew it was something like that. I have flies, honeys, and something else. I didn't look that up, obviously. Committing to people. This is an issue of time. Well, I just don't have the time to invest in that person. When I'm telling someone or I'm showing someone in my actions that I don't have the time for them, guess what that does? Does that appreciate them? No. It makes them feel like what? I'm not worth your time. And if I'm not worth your time, then what does that tell me concerning you. You really don't care. Take it or leave it. I don't feel appreciated. I don't feel appreciated when I feel like, well, if I have to. Do you? Oh, if I'm obligated to, well, then I will. Well, I'd really rather do something else, but I guess I will. Oh, thanks. Man, you make me feel like $1 million. Thank you. No, but on the other hand, when you truly commit to people and say, one of the things that has happened in a working relationship that I have and what I do outside, one of the things that has it struck me is one of the execs that I work with, I mean, he will tell me on a phone call, hey, I need to block out an hour with you and we need to go over this stuff. And what he's telling me in that is, listen, you're important enough for me to block out an hour and work on this. And what does that do? It makes you feel appreciated. It makes you feel like you matter. It makes you feel worthwhile. And when people have influence in your life and they commit to a time or they commit to spending time with you, it makes you feel worthwhile. This is even in a base relationship where you commit to spending time with that individual and it helps them feel appreciated. Why one of the love languages, one of the five love languages is what? Quality time. Spending time with someone. Integrity with people. This is an issue of character. I can't be one way in one crowd and another way in another crowd. People don't want to follow that. They don't. We call it two-faced. An individual, well, you just never know what the person you're going to get. People don't appreciate that. People want somebody with integrity. People want somebody with character. Somebody who's going to be the same in every situation. Somebody I'm not going to have to worry about blowing up when everything doesn't go all right. How many of you like to be under that boss or leader or manager that you're just, man, I don't want to set that dude off because the dragon comes out and it is not good? Setting goals for people. Whoa. Yo, where'd it go? This is an issue of vision. Setting goals for people. This is and this is one of those difficult things. Is truly setting some clear, defined goals and making sure some expectations are clearly defined. They're not vague, they're not ambiguous. They're clearly defined that these are the goals and these are the things that we want to hit together. And when we hit them, we're going to celebrate them. And guess what? We're going to share in the success and the failure. And if it didn't work out right, we're going to go look at it and we're going to figure out why it didn't work out. And I'm not going to point my finger at you and say, well, it was because you didn't do your part. Man, this thing's going nuts. But once people realize that someone can help them become successful, they tend to follow. When people realize that person in their appreciation has the potential to appreciate them and not just appreciate them in an emotional sense, but appreciate them in helping them grow and become more successful and find more value and significance and worthwhile. When people find other people like that, that's the kind of people they hitch their wagon to. That's the kind of people that they want to follow. Or you can say it this way, success is relative. Once you have it, all the relatives come. When Publishers Clearing, whatever that thing is, clearinghouse, sweepstakes, and I guarantee you'll find cousins you didn't know you had. You will find people who will want to befriend you. Success, that you know, that ability. And I'm not talking about just monetary success. I'm not talking about just finances. I'm talking about people who are successful people. People who are people who know how to do it and appreciate other people. There are very few good leaders who do so by criticism. they learn how to be encouragers. They learn how to be uplifting and appreciate people. And as a result, people tend to follow. People tend to think, well, I am worthwhile. What I do is significant. And this is an area I fail a lot of. There's a lot of times I'll have to text people and tell them, listen, I'm sorry. I haven't told you in a while just how much we appreciate what you do. I'm not good at this. My wife will tell you, I am not good at appreciating people. I struggle really hard at this. And I don't know why. I don't know if because I grew up in a home that there wasn't much of that that was displayed. I don't know. But I struggle at truly appreciating people. I'm not good at it. I have the mindset, well, it just, there's a certain level of expectation. If they meet it, why should I be all happy about it? That's the expectation. I'm just being honest with you. That's my mindset sometimes. I'm not being mean. I just fail to do it a lot. I fail to truly appreciate people for what they do. That's a great point. Unless I appreciate it, how do you know that those expectations are met? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for taking the time. I'm not saying I'm a disaster at it, maybe sometimes, but this is an area I really struggle with. I don't appreciate. And that's leadership's most appreciable asset, is people. And to appreciate people for what they do and the roles they play. And I can't really put my finger on why I struggle to do it, but I know it's a flaw in me as a leader. And if I'm going to develop the leader in me, I've got to learn how to appreciate people and what they do. Because it makes them feel significant, and it makes them feel worthwhile, and it makes them want to get on board, and it makes them want to follow. Don't let your failures or those of others keep you from appreciating the successes and further developing. Here's the thing. Here's what happens a lot of times. When those expectations aren't met or we didn't succeed in the way that we wanted to succeed, instead of celebrating the portion of success, I say it all the time, we have a tendency, it's in our human nature. We find the 5% bad and focus on that when there's 95% good. Well, we didn't make it to the 100%. Okay, but you ain't that close to zero either. And so celebrate the successes and understand the failures happen. None of us are perfect. You have to look at failure as the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. This is beautiful. You have to see. Somebody told me, I forget, some time ago, it was a video I watched, and the guy kept repeating this. And the thing he kept saying is this. He says, practice is controlled failure. I said, man, that is a great way to look at it. I'm controlling the failure. I'm failing. I'm not making all the shots. I'm not hitting the bullseye every time. I'm not. But guess what? When I fail and mess up and I make mistakes, I learn from those mistakes. You would be surprised to know how many people who are successful in business right now, millionaires and billionaires, who filed for bankruptcy in their past. Guess what? They learned what not to do. And as a result, guess what? They learned what to do. And they saw failure as a way to begin again more intelligently. I know not to do that again. I know not to repeat that same mistake. Success is ultimately the result of planning, where preparation and opportunity meet. Success is not just going to fall in your lap. You're not just going to wake up one day and be a successful person. Woke up on the morning of success, and here I am. No, it doesn't work though. There has to be planning, and there has to be preparation. Man, we love to shoot from the hip. Let's just get up and get going. Make it happen. But if we understand the fact that, hey, success is simply where preparation and opportunity meet, If I'm prepared and I'm planning, at some point in time, that opportunity is going to present itself. Success is available. And leading people in this path and telling people, hey, we all make mistakes, we all mess up. That doesn't mean we're done. Doesn't mean it's over. I forget how many times it was that Edison tried before he actually developed the light bulb. Hundreds of times. Hundreds of failures before the success. But we don't talk about the failures, what we talk about. We talk about the man who developed the light bulb. Talk about the success. Whoa. It's going crazy again. What motivates people? Significant contributions. Skin in the game. Goal participation. People support what they help create. Positive dissatisfaction. We're going to talk about that one in a minute. In other words, this could be better. Recognition. People want to be noticed. And we've touched on this a little bit more. Clear expectations. Avoid vague or unclear expectations. Significant contributions. What do I mean by skin in the game? What motivates people by skin in the game? You have something vested. If, let's say we're on a project together and I say, hey, here's the project. It's all you. Hope it works out. Oh, wow, thanks. That's motivation. Or I say, hey, here's a project. We're in this thing together. We're going to make it happen. It's on us to make it. That's telling you I got skin in the game. That's telling you I'm not putting it all on you. There's a significant contribution that I am making as well. And when people see other people who are willing to make a significant contribution and they're willing to put their time and their energy and all those things into it, guess what? They're putting skin in the game. And so the thing is, hey, if they're willing to invest their time and effort, if they're willing to put themselves into it, well, then I'm willing to put myself into it. I'm willing to put skin in the game. Goal participation. Trust me, there is no sales staff on a secular level that likes for a sales manager to come in with all his predetermined goals and say, or her and her predetermined goals, sorry, and say, hey, here's what we need to do. Here's the numbers we need to hit. This is how we need to do it. How motivating is that? But on the other hand, if that manager comes in or that leader comes in and says, hey, we need to put our heads together and we need to come up with a plan to put down some goals. I need your participation in this. I need to know some areas that we need to focus on to make these things happen. Well, all of a sudden, you've just piqued my interest. Because you're not coming to me with this thing that you want me to do. You're coming to me with an opportunity to be involved and participate in the setting of goals. And I kind of like that. Because now I'm getting some skin in the game. Positive dissatisfaction. What do I mean by positive dissatisfaction? How do you do that? It's like an oxymoron. Positive dissatisfaction. How are you positively dissatisfied? You want to take a shot? Hint. This could be better. Some highly motivated people deal with a lot of positive dissatisfaction. In other words, this is good, but it can be better. Those numbers were great, but we can do better. This thing that we put on, this event that we had together, it was good, but we can do better. And positive dissatisfaction is one of those traits. It's one of those things that helps motivate people. Oh, this is good, but it could be better. Recognition. People want to be noticed. They want to be appreciated. They want to be recognized. Thank you for your contribution. Thank you for your skin in the game. Thank you for being a part and participating in the setting of goals. Thank you. We recognize that you helped make this happen. Clear expectations. You got to avoid vague or unclear expectations. Clear. This is what we're doing. This is the goal. This is what we're defining. It's clear. One of the biggest mistakes you can make in trying to talk convincingly is to put the highest priority on expressing your ideas and feelings. I'm going to stop right there. There are a lot of times, let me just from a pastoral counseling, talking with people sometimes, there are some times that I'm talking to people and I realize about halfway through what I'm saying, they're already thinking about what they're going to say in return. And they miss the remainder. Because they're already thinking about how they can have a rebuttal or how they can, and it's not in the sense of argument. It's just something I want to look at and say, hey, are you listening? Or are you thinking about something to say after I get done? Are you just waiting for my mouth to shut so your mouth can open? No offense, but if you're offended, we have a whole series on that. What most people really want is to be listened to, respected, and understood. They want to feel like their opinion matters. They want to feel like what they're going to say, you're going to listen to, and not stop halfway through. I know how to come back around that. To listen, to be attentive. Why? That tells me that I'm worth the time. That tells me that I'm worthwhile. That tells me that my opinion matters. That appreciates me and what I have to say. It stops people sometimes. Listen, you can't possibly be appreciating what I'm saying. And maybe it's not that good. I don't know. But the reality is, there's no way you can possibly appreciate what I'm saying because you haven't heard it all. Your mind's already switched gears. The moment people see they are being understood, they become more motivated to understand your point of view. Listen, I learned this in some way as a teenager with my parents. I had an older sister who wasn't so smart in this sense, okay? I love her. But as teenagers, we were 2 years apart, and as teenagers, my older sister, when something would happen or she'd get in trouble, man, she would just go, like, screaming, yelling, nuts, slamming doors, the whole nine yards, man. It was fun. I, on the other hand, began to realize something. If I would sit down with my parents and I would hear them out and then say, guys, can you hear my side? Can we talk about this? Can I share my side? Not scream it back at them. Not just wait for them to stop so I can... Rah, rah, rah. Just say, okay. I respect that. Can we try to see my side? Does my side have any credibility or validity to this situation at all? Maybe it didn't. But the reality is, when I learned to do that and I respected, or at least acted like I was respecting what they were saying, guess what? You know what they stopped doing? They stopped looking at me like this dumb, ignorant teenager that doesn't want to listen and he's stubborn. And say, well, maybe he's got 2 cents. And maybe he will let us talk to him a little bit. Maybe he doesn't know everything, even though all teenagers think they know everything. And so I learned when I would start to value their point of view, when I would start to say, I understand that, Mom and Dad. That makes sense. As a parent, I probably would do the same thing. But I'm on the other side. So here's my side of the story. I learned early on that be a spin doctor. The thing is, I made it their point of view valuable. Like, it was worthwhile. It was worth sitting there and listening to what they had to say. And then guess what? Then they in turn decided maybe it's worth sitting and listening to what he has to say, even though he is a knucklehead. And things begin, there was a lot of times where we would come to a compromise. Where I can tell you on more than one occasion where we sat down at the dinner table and we talked it out. And by the end of that, Dad was saying, I see your point of view. I think there's an area here that maybe we can be a little bit more lax on and trust you that you're going to make right decisions. If I was screaming and yelling, we'd have never got to that point. There would have been no trust. There would have been no value that they saw in where I was coming from at all. But they... appreciated the fact that I was listening and I wasn't doing the normal teenager stuff. It didn't always happen that way. Let me just make sure you understand that. Just for fun, check yourself tomorrow and see how many times you catch yourself satisfying your own esteem needs by stealing it from others. Stealing from it. Yeah, that's great. Proofread that one. All right, don't read that. Listen to what I'm saying. Just for fun, check yourself tomorrow and see how many times you catch yourself satisfying your own esteem needs by stealing it from others. Two froms in there. But we do this. It's almost a human nature thing. That we will satisfy our own needs by stealing the self-esteem from others, or the esteem rather from others. I can't let them get all the glory. But what does the Bible tell us to do? To esteem others better than ourselves. In other words, if I had 80% of the project and they had 20% of the project, I can still say, hey, man, we did a great job on that together. And I don't have to say, yeah, your 20% was great. What am I doing when I say, hey, your 20%? I'm stealing esteem from them. Because I need people to know that I had 80% of that project. But that's a part of our nature. We want credit for it. But understand this, a good leader understands that credit is not about for him and to him. Credit is about what is displayed as the people who follow him understand his appreciation and grow together. So that we all grow together. The greatest potential for the growth of a leader is found in the growth of their followers. I'm going to spend a few minutes on that one. The greatest potential that I have or you have as a leader is not what we can do in and of ourselves. Because guess what? We are limited. But if I'm able to get other people to follow and become involved and put skin in the game, and I value their time and I appreciate them and I make them feel a part of the production, and things begin to happen and they see stuff going on and they want to get on board, and then think, guess what? Possibilities are almost limitless. Think of what can happen in a few moments of time as people get on board and start to make it happen and start to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get on board with that. And so now all of a sudden, the 10 things I was trying to do myself, now I've got 9 other people that are helping me, and we all have one task. And guess how much better we do that one task than me trying to do all 10 myself? The greatest potential is not in of me, it's in the people that I'm able to lead. And so a leader who is able to properly appreciate people and grow people, the opportunities for growth, be it an organization, be it a church, be it a workplace, be it a company, whatever, it's limitless. To appreciate when you talk about morale in the workplace, how many people are more likely to put more effort in when they feel that their effort is appreciated? When they feel like what they're doing matters. Now here's candid me. Here's where I trip it up sometimes. Because I think, well, man, it's the house of God. It's church. Why are you, people should just want to do that. People should just, I shouldn't be, hey, patting you on the back. Because you took out the trash, well, it was flowing over, overflowing on the floor. Woo hooty hoo hoo. Great job. But in the same matter, I need to understand that. I need to appreciate. I need to notice that. Hey, thank you for doing that. I appreciate that you took the initiative, you got it, and you did it. Or it's about time somebody recognized. I wasn't going to pick that up. Leadership's most appreciable asset are the people. And so, yes, when it comes to effectively leading people and developing the leaders in us, we have to learn how to truly appreciate people. To make them feel worthwhile. To make them feel like they matter. You have a part in this. We're all in this together. And so I put share out there and nobody signs up. That's a joke on you, by the way. Those of you that have signed up, I appreciate you doing that. Those of you that have not, I would that you would consider putting some skin in the game. Becoming a part of what's happening. Feeling like, here's the thing, I've heard it time and time and time again. I've had people come to me and say, I want to be more involved. I want to do all, where's he at? Oh, he's probably up in youth class. I tell you, Jeremiah gets on, that kid has got a beautiful spirit. He came up to me, I actually came to him and I said, Jeremiah, would you be willing to mow the lawn? Oh yeah, Pastor, I'd be willing to do that. I said, told him where everything is. I said, now I hope I'm not stealing his glory. I said, man, I'll pay you $15 to do it. It'll take you about maybe an hour to do the whole thing, by the weed eater. That kid has yet to take a dime from me. But you know what? I haven't appreciated that like I should. And I need to make sure before tonight's done, I pull him aside and said, hey, thank you, bro. Thank you for taking the time to do it. And I fail to do that a lot of times. So people don't feel like they're appreciated. And so like, well, why do it anymore? Why spend the time? Why spend the effort? I'm not appreciated. Not made to feel worthwhile. It got real quiet in here for some reason. So yeah, it's both ends. It's making me or you or people feel appreciated by making them feel worthwhile and saying, attaboy, attagirl. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I'm appreciated for that statement. Developing the leader within you. Learn to be more appreciative. What do you think it would be like if you tried to concentrate on doing this? When you start a conversation with someone, try to find, in the first 60 seconds of that conversation, try to find something to compliment or encourage them about. See what a difference that makes. See what a difference if in that first 60 seconds of conversation, you can find a way to encourage them, appreciate them, or compliment them. And watch what will happen. Demeanors change. Sometimes attitude changes. It's amazing what happens when people feel appreciated. It's amazing the length some people will go when they feel appreciated. It really is. And so that's what makes it so amazing and great for a leader to learn how to appreciate people. Look not at everyone on his own things, but look also on the needs of others. Well, I need my own validation. I need my own credibility. I need my own feel like I'm significant and worthwhile. So let me just make sure I get it all for myself. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches esteem others better than you. Appreciate them. Why is it that we feel if we're appreciating other people, we're somehow depreciating ourselves? That is a lie. That is not the case. If I'm appreciating someone and I'm complimenting, that's not a, because I compliment this individual, I'm not cutting myself down. I'm not saying because you have nice hair, I have none. But for some reason, it's a block for us. We truly don't understand how to appreciate people. So do that in some of your next conversations. First of all, just for fun, check and see if maybe you're stealing some esteem, getting some appreciation for yourself. And try to focus on finding a way to compliment, encourage, or appreciate someone at the beginning of a conversation and see what happens. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I'm thankful for your word, which challenges us, God. Lord, to truly lead others, God, by appreciating them, making them feel worthwhile in the roles, God. I thank you the examples in your word, God. You looked at your disciples and said, listen, fellas, you're going to be sitting on the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I appreciate you and what you're doing. Lord, help us to understand the significance, God, and people. Lord, they are leadership's most appreciable asset. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.